And welcome again to our special Halloween edition of the Sweet Feathery Jesus podcast. With us tonight, we have Dr. P. How you doing, Dr. P?
Howdy, fellas.
And we have Booze. Booze, how's it going tonight?
Welcome, strangers.
All right. Well, it is approaching very close to Halloween, and it's probably my favorite holiday of the year, but it's a little different over there in the UK, isn't it, Booze?
Yeah, but it's not as big, I would guess, but it's getting bigger.
Right.
Because around this time of the year, on the 5th of November, remember the 5th of November.
Yeah.
We have Guy Fawkes Night, which is, we remember back in 1605 when King James was nearly killed. There was a plot to blow up the Houses of Parliament. And that was by the Catholics, who were like, kind of like the communists over there in the 50s at the time, you know? They were, you know, Catholics under the bed and all that kind of thing. So who knows whether it was true, like the conspiracy was true, or whether it was all
right,
a trumped up charge or whatever. But yeah, Guy Fawkes was found underneath the Houses of Parliament with loads of barrels of gunpowder, just about to blow the place sky high. And,
wow.
Yeah, and for his troubles, he got basically burnt at the stake. So when I was a kid, like thinking back on it now, it was great. We used to have bonfires and fireworks, and we'd put an effigy on the bonfire, right? And that was Guy Fawkes, the Catholic. So we were burning a Catholic now.
A real family event, it sounds like.
They still do that.
Yeah, it's still done.
But nice.
It's great. But I didn't really learn the traditions behind it until much later on in my life. And I don't think that many people connected it, you know, the whole burning of Catholics thing, even at the time back in the 70s and 80s. But yeah, it's good fun. But Halloween is, you know, just a week before. And I think the supermarkets are well on board with the Halloween thing now, because you go in there and you can buy all your costumes and that. And really, the only thing they can make money out of with Guy Fawkes Night is the fireworks.
Yeah.
Which they do a good job making money out of that. But also, at the same time of year, you've got Diwali, which is all about the fireworks, you know? So,
okay.
So that's kind of made inroads. So I don't mind. I like a bit of Halloween. But I think it's important to keep the Guy Fawkes tradition alive.
So it's almost like a celebration of terrorism. Hey, P, can you imagine if, like, in 100 years we have Muhammad Atta night?
Oh, Jesus. No, I can't.
That's
I'll roll over in my grave.
Muhammad Atta night in the U.S. in 100
yeah.
years.
You go up to the top of the highest building you can find and throw out a falling man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe set him on fire first.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man.
So, Booze, when you were a little kid, do you remember Halloween? I mean, was it spoken about? Were scary movies on television? Was anything?
Yeah, I do remember it. I remember going trick-or-treating as a kid. But it wasn't. It was by no means a big deal. And Christmas is kind of our, like, it's a traditional time for ghost stories over here. The BBC puts on a lot of ghost, you know, related stuff at Christmas on the radio and TV. So we've got that. So Halloween Halloween's kind of not really needed. It'd be great if you had it in February or something like that.
It's just become, over here, it's basically, it's like, well, whatever you've always wanted to do but been inhibited to do, Halloween's the night you can do it.
Ripe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see, I can't tell, like, our first Halloween here in Austin, Texas, we went out on the main drag here, which is 6th Street. I cannot even count how many slutty nurses walked by.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that's funny you had mentioned that. One thing I've learned over the years is you can tell a lot about a girl by her Halloween getup. If every year she's a slutty witch, a slutty vampire, a slutty librarian, break up with her.
She so wants to be a slut.
And got to have skin showing, even though it's cold, that kind of shit. It's bad news. And they love it when you put the word slutty in front of their costume when that's not exactly what they were going for. Like, oh, you're a slutty princess. You know.
Let me ask you this, boys. Isn't Halloween supposed to be about dressing up as a skeleton or a witch or something like that? And it's supposed to be rooted in horror?
Yeah, you know,
scary. Where did this come from? Where did people start dressing up as basically just sluts?
Well, I don't know where that comes from, but like I said, I think it has more to do with, like, Halloween is a night where inhibitions can go out the window. I think that's what it's morphed into. It used to be horror, but now it's just more of a – it's become more of a – it's a universal costume ball night.
Do we sense maybe the religious right at play on this one? You know, getting away from all that kind of supernatural.
There may be a hint of rebellion in it. Yeah, that could be a part of it.
Well, you know, it's kind of changed since we were kids, too. I mean, Halloween's not what it used to be. Kids trick-or-treat at malls and shit now.
Yeah, they don't go out in public anymore.
No, when I was a kid, you and your siblings and friends, you just dressed up, grabbed a hollow pumpkin and started walking, you know, plastic, you know, the little fake one, and filled it up with candy and always tried to make it look empty so you'd get more. And
yeah, now the stranger danger is so prevalent that, you know, parents won't even walk with them on Halloween.
No, like, take them to the mall.
Yeah. They take them to the mall and go around to the stores and collect candy. It's really sad, kind of.
Yeah.
It is sad, yeah. I wonder if that's got anything to do with America being the serial killer center of the world. I don't know. Maybe there's a link.
Yeah, there's a lot of windowless vans asking for kids to help them move a sofa into it. So.
And the kids moan today about being abducted and molested a lot more than they did back then.
Back then you kept your mouth shut and you just...
Yeah, shrug it off, light a cigarette and carry on.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, it's just, okay, so it happened to you. It's happened to probably somebody down the block, too. Give it a rest. What makes you think you're so special?
God. I think that's one of the things the kids like. You know, if you give them... of course kids like setting fire to Catholics. Okay, they prefer to go door to door. Yeah. Oh, don't get me started on him. They prefer to go door to door getting sweets, as we call them over here. You know?
Yeah.
And money. They'd get money if they could, because that used to be one of the big things about Guy Fawkes Night, is kids would be outside your supermarket or wherever with a homemade guy effigy.
Yeah.
You know? And they would say, it was basically begging. They would go, oh, penny for the guy, mister, penny for the guy.
You know,
you'd have to give him some money for this. Actually, just a sack, you know, wearing a blazer.
Wow.
Yeah, but that's virtually disappeared now.
Does a lot of vandalism go on Halloween night there?
No more than usual, I wouldn't say.
Really?
No.
Okay.
It's a big night here. I mean, half of it's just all the pumpkins on everybody's front porch. It's easy enough to grab and smash them in the street. Yeah.
Toilet paper and all that.
That's the tame stuff. But over in Detroit, man, they have – it's like hell night, man. They're like arsonists out in force, and they're setting fire to buildings. It's a rough night for cops in Detroit.
That's insane. I didn't know that.
Halloween comes around. It is a rough night for them.
It is taken to the next level over there, huh?
It is. There's something about Detroit.
Yeah.
I wonder what.
They should go on strike. Get some kind of robot policeman to take over instead.
But you bring up a good point, segueing into movies, which for me is a huge part of Halloween. I mean, I am all about the horror movies. A lot of people on the site on Sweet Feathery Jesus know that. But man, horror movies are just my thing. I'm always in the mood for a horror movie to watch.
Yeah. Now, you're one of these people, I would guess, because I like horror films, but only the good ones, you know?
Well,
whereas with you, you're kind of an aficionado to the point that you'll just watch horror films because they're horror films.
Yeah, I will, actually. I will.
And you even like the schlocky, you know, rubbishy ones.
Oh, yeah. Some of those are the best.
Human Centipede.
I don't care what anybody says. Human Centipede did exactly what it was intended to do. Disturb the living shit out of you. I recommend Human Centipede to anybody that wants to be disturbed.
Mm. Can you remember, Belasco, the first horror film you ever saw?
First horror film I ever saw would probably be, one of the early Universal horror films with – it was either probably Frankenstein or it was Dracula with Karloff or Lugosi, one of those two.
Yeah, I remember those films, and eventually they got around to doing Dracula meets Frankenstein and the Wolfman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And Abbott Costello and all that. Yeah, those, they, you know, good stuff.
Those were always my favorite. I loved the it was basically a Clash of the Titans kind of horror movie. And I love those kinds of movies, even though they sucked. I can look at them now and say, this is terrible, but I still am nostalgic for it.
Some of those shock theater movies, and it was out of Charlotte. I bet you did get that channel.
Yeah.
It was a Sunday, just scary movies, Sunday evenings. And, they would have, like, the original Creature from the Black Lagoon and stuff. And some of them were really good. I mean, I've seen them since.
Oh, yeah.
There were some awesome were really ones. Good. But then, yeah, it did get pretty hokey. But it wasn't like Boris Karloff and those guys in Dracula versus the Wolfman. That was a generation later, I'm pretty sure.
What about you, Booze? Do you remember your first horror film?
Yeah, I remember it really well, actually. I was probably about 6 or 7, and it was so it had a real effect on me. It was a Hammer film.
And
it was one of it was like one
Toolbox
of the early
murders?
It was one of the early 70s ones. So you're talking about horror and big tits.
Yeah.
Right? Which, when you're 6 or 7, that has quite an effect. Both of them the same. It's the one called Blood from the Mummy's Tomb.
You know? Oh, this, okay.
This woman
who
in
played
it
the mummy?
Well, there wasn't really a mummy in it. That was kind of, that really apply. Thank God, because it was, instead of a mummy, it was a hot woman wearing.
Was it a soft porn?
No, it weren't, but there was just some heaving bosom. It all started off. I remember the start really well, and
was
I don't know
scary?
How much else about. It scared me at the time. I've seen it since, and it's not scary at all, no. But I can see why it would have scared me back then, because the start is pretty atmospheric. They're in, some Egyptian tomb back in ancient Egypt, and they cut off this chick's hand, and they lob it out to the dogs, and it starts crawling across the desert zone. And then there's like a reincarnation of this woman in 70s London, which is cool enough in itself. It's not a bad film. I saw it recently.
That sounds like the perfect kind of movie to see when you're that
it'd
age.
Be perfect for you. I mean, I wouldn't recommend it to anyone.
Well, that's why I said at the age you saw it, it would be perfect.
A lot of these films, like, I'm guessing, because I remember I was with my mum and dad around one of their friends' houses, and just hanging out like with the other couple's kids, and they must have let us watch it because it just seemed so lame. How could you get scared about this lame film? You know, but at 6 years old, you get scared of anything, I guess.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And it's not fun being scared when you're that young either. You get to an age where you're a preteen, where it's the greatest thing in the world. But when you're a little kid, movies can be terrifying. Let's see. The Exorcist scared the ever-living shit out of me.
Mm.
And
that's just a great film on its own.
I was way too young to have seen it.
That had a lot of power over here, The Exorcist. Sorry,
yeah,
Pete. But because it was banned.
Was that one of the video nasties?
Video. Well, I don't know whether it was actually a video nasty, but it got caught up in all of that. And you couldn't, I guess because of like the crucifix scene and all that kind of thing.
Right.
You couldn't rent it legally. And I remember when I was about 14 or 15, we were going to watch it one night. One of my friends had a like video shop near him where they did like Under the Counter. You know, the video nasties.
Nice.
And we rented it, and we went back to his house to watch it. But the two girls we were with, one of them had seen it before. And we put it on, and it started, in Iraq when they're doing the archaeology.
Yeah.
Digging up that thing. And she goes, "Nah, turn it off. I can't watch it." And that was that. And I didn't watch it until it was released at the cinema properly in, 97 or whenever it was, 98.
Is that when they added new footage to it, like the spider crawl and whatnot?
Yeah. And I it was always going to be disappointing after that build up. But I thought it was pretty good, apart from the head turning around scene.
Yeah.
I just thought that was, that didn't work for me. That looked shit. And the, you know, vomiting the pea soup.
Right.
If they'd have taken those two scenes out of it, it would have been fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But those two scenes are what most people will mention when they talk about what scared them in The Exorcist.
Yeah, but is it scary or is it just, you know, that's the shock horror bit, the bits you remember? The bits
it scared the fucking shit out of me when I was like 8. I mean, it scared me to a point, yeah, like I was probably.
Well, yeah, when you're right, yeah. No.
Right,
but watching that.
No,
when you're
I watch it now. It's ridiculous. I agree, but
it's still got the power to scare you, though. The Exorcist, yeah. Of it. And I particularly like the fact that when they go to the hospital, the doctors are smoking away. You know, he's giving a, you know, he's putting something in her spine, and he's got what we would say in England, he's got a fag on at the same time. Did you guys ever see The Exorcist Part 3 or whatever it's called?
That one is mentioned as one of the better newer horror movies, and I still haven't seen it. It's from 1990, right?
Yeah, around about that time. It's actually pretty good. I think it's directed by, what's his name? Blatty, the guy that wrote the original. Yeah, and it's,
or not Blatty, but Friedkin was the director, but I think Blatty...
That he directed this film because it's the follow up, basically. Forget the second film.
The second film was shit.
Yeah,
Richard Burton in it, and yeah, and watch this one. And it's pretty good. I mean, it gets let down a little bit by the effects, but there are some real scary moments in it. It's very. I can't believe you ain't watched it, Blasco.
Who are you? I am the one.
I gotta say, I like, you mentioned those Hammer films. I like a lot of those Hammer films, those early Hammer films, even more so than the American set movies that were around the same time. I mean, you take some of those Christopher Lee movies and Peter Cushing movies. One of the things that really just stands out to me is just the color. I mean, it was so vivid. I think Hammer had the most vivid red blood.
Yeah.
Any movies ever, and it was great. And Tim Burton kind of did the same thing with Sleepy Hollow, even though that movie wasn't all that great. But I think he was kind of going for the same thing there.
Could you back up a little bit? Hammer films, I'm sure some of the listeners will be like me and have no idea what that is.
Yeah, sort of 60s and 70s British horror films.
Okay. And, why were they called Hammer films?
That was the studio name.
Okay.
Yeah, and there was another studio, I think it's called Amicus.
Wasn't the Tales from the Crypt movie primarily a British film?
I don't know about that.
I think it was, and you talk about, I think in Britain, I think you can actually get the Tales from the Crypt movie in Britain that's not edited, but here in America you get the edited version. They filmed basically a couple of, some of the comic stuff from Tales from the Crypt, even before the TV show in the 80s. I mean, this was the 70s, and like... On the American version of the DVD, I have it, and it pissed me off. Instead of actually showing, you know, the horrific kind of gory moments, they show a freeze frame in America.
What?
The horrific gory moment.
I've seen that a bunch of times. I don't recall freeze frames.
I will send you the DVD and show
is that,
you.
Is this the one where they bury them up to their neck in the sand and put the monitors?
No. You're thinking of Creepshow.
Okay.
You're thinking of Creepshow. This is a Tales from the Crypt movie from the 70s. The American DVD release will not show the gore. I remember one in particular. There's one where this guy goes into a restaurant and doesn't realize that the entire town is populated by vampires at night. And they string him up and they plug a tap into his neck like a beer
tap. Yeah. That was British.
This is ringing a bell.
Okay. Yeah, it was
maybe
British. In America,
different title over there.
Yeah, in America, they freeze frame it on the guy with the tap in his neck for I don't know how many seconds, and they, like, black out the tap. I'm like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, it's House
of Ridiculous.
I don't think it was called that over here.
Okay.
It's called something else, but I've seen that. That sounds like that Hammer did a TV show as well at the end of the 70s, start of the 80s. and that had much the same effect. I remember around about the same time I would have seen that first horror film, mm-hmm. I saw this Hammer TV show, and this was at the end of the 70s it was made, so it's pretty racy stuff.
Right.
You were guaranteed some boobs in it, let's put it this way. And there was one called, like, Witching Time or something like that, where this dude who lives in this farmhouse, you know, this rich dude, he has a row with his wife. His wife shoots off, you know.
Yeah.
You bastard. Then he goes out to the shed, and he just finds this woman in there, you know, apropos of nothing. It turns out she's a witch from, like, you know, the 17th century or something like that.
Yeah.
And he says, "You're not real, are you?" And she goes, "I am real. Feel me." Drops a witch's robe off, and he, to feel her,
nice.
He goes, he just pinches one of her tits. Yeah. No. I thought, yeah, man. Horror's not so bad after all.
That's one of the things I love about horror, is that until recently, it's never really shied away from the nudity. Now, you're lucky to get nudity in a horror film now, because they want to make it PG-13 because they think that's going to make the most money. But man, those 80s and those 70s and 80s horror films, they were great.
All tits. Yep.
Oh, those were the best.
Well, this leads me on to horror remakes, because you know there's been a spate of those recently.
Yeah.
Has there been a good one?
A good one. The Fly.
You're afraid to be destroyed and recreated, aren't you?
You're changing, Seth. Everything about you is changing.
Oh, no. What's happening to me? Am I dying?
I want to know what's going on.
What does the disease want?
Wants to turn me into something else.
Oh, no.
A fly got into the transmitter pod with me that first time when I was alone. Don't go back to it.
It could be contagious.
I'm afraid.
Don't be afraid.
No. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Yeah, but now you're talking, that's the 80s, and that was Cronenberg, so you can't really count now.
More recent.
Yeah, the sort of updated since, post Scream, I guess.
Okay, post Scream. You know,
the cash in films.
That makes it much, much tougher.
Yeah.
That makes it much tougher. I'm going to have a hard time coming up with a remake that's been good since then.
I'm not thinking of anything.
Yeah, I can't really come up with one. I mean, it's just it's like I said, they make a PG-13 for commercial appeal, and it just takes the teeth out of them. It's just terrible.
Yeah, and a lot of them, they have that kind of tongue in cheek feel about them.
Oh, as if, yeah,
like I say, because you know it's all knowing now.
You right, know, with all... the blob count.
Was it any good? I didn't even bother with it.
It's as good as the original, which isn't saying much. Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
They tried. They came.
It was like 2000.
They came close, but there's just something about that really old, gritty film in the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre that makes it feel like a documentary that's just so much more intense.
Yeah,
that's the thing. You get that with a lot of films, is the feeling of them.
Yeah.
And there's no way I can... I mean, like, the Wicker Man remake was never going to work anyway with the, you know, changing the plot like that, making it a community of women who worship bees or whatever the fuck was going on. Nick Cage in it as well, so you're on a hiding
something.
Oh, he's
awful.
Oh, no, not the bees! Not the bees! Ah! Oh, no, my eyes! Eyes! Ah!
It's a fantastic film, I think. I mean, there are stupid things.
It's great. But
it's just got that eerie kind of Britishness.
It's dark. Yeah.
Very dark, yeah. Even Christopher Lee mincing about dressed up as a woman.
Yeah.
Can't provide you much light relief, you know? Yeah, it's a good film.
Oh, God! Oh, Jesus Christ! Oh, my God! Christ! No,
dear God!
No, Christ!
Yeah, there's just so what are some of your favorite horror films?
The Hills Have Eyes.
Oh, wow, it's been a while since I've seen that.
That's Wes Craven, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that a lot. That just That where you're
from,
still.
Where you're from, P, isn't that looked upon as a documentary?
Actually, I'm from about as no less rural of a place in North Carolina than Blasco there, but
yeah, it's really, it really kind of is.
What are your defensive capabilities at this time? They're just sitting nice.
We're going through that wash. They'll never see us coming.
That looks
no,
out
it's
west,
a lot in sophisticate now. I'd have to go Rosemary's Baby as my favorite.
Oh, that is a good one. That is a, you like the slow burn creepy ones, don't you?
Well, the thing about Rosemary's Baby, you don't really see... the only thing you really see is John Cassavetes wearing, you know, some hair and some horns. That's it. But it's all done by suggestion. The music's great. You've got those fantastic dream sequences in there, you know, when she's just drifting off and it pans up to the wall and you can hear Ruth Gordon coming through from the next apartment, and in her mind it's turned into one of the nuns at the convent that she used to go to, and you know she's mouthing the same words. And
what have you done to it? What have you done to its eyes?
He has his father's eyes.
What are you talking about, guys?
Satan is his father, not Guy. He came up from hell and begat a son of mortal woman. Hail Satan!
Yeah, I really like that film.
Yeah, it's a fantastic film. One of the best films ever made by a pedophile.
Look, I say, if you do that and Chinatown, you should be allowed to rape a 13-year-old girl. Just
it
once.
It wasn't the ass, though.
Yeah, you mentioned my favorite. The original Texas Chainsaw Massacre ranks right up there. For the pure fact of how disturbing it can be to watch. Even to this day, it's really just intense and just almost overwhelming with that. But if I had to pick a different one other than that, I will watch Return of the Living Dead anytime it's on. Unfortunately, it doesn't get shown much, and it's campy. It's some people would argue that it's more of a comedy than it is a horror, but I swear to God, I love that film so much. Just the whole punk aesthetic to it. Yeah. And even though it breaks all the zombie rules, the zombies should not be fast. The zombies only it was the first movie that started things off with brain eating rather than just flesh.
Was that the one where they're in the cinema at the start? Is a projectionist? What one's that?
No, Return of the Living Dead is the one that happens in like the middle of America, and these guys work at a medical supply warehouse.
Oh yeah.
And the canisters were from the original Night of the Living Dead film. And dumbass hits it and causes it to leak, and the chemical leaks out into the air. And of course, the medical supply company is right near a graveyard, and the gas goes into the air, and it rains on the graveyard, and they start coming out, and it's just.
Are we going crazy?
No, it's that crap by the tanks and goddamn chemicals. It's all over everything.
Stupid asshole.
Watch your tongue, boy, if you like this job.
Like this job.
Think. We gotta call the cops.
No, you don't want to call the cops. You know what the cops will do to this company?
Who cares about the company?
Well, think of our reputation.
Your reputation. Think.
I can't get enough of it. It's. I know it's not a great movie, but I love it. Every time it's on, I watch it.
Yeah, zombie movies are can't miss. Yeah. I think the one Booz was talking about was Dawn of the Dead.
No, Dawn is the one in the shopping mall, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a shopping mall.
Talking about good remakes, that's a...
That was after 2000. Yeah.
That was... You know what? You're right, because there were some parts of that were really well done.
Yeah.
That zombie infant was just creeped me the hell out.
And the whole thing when they're up on the roof and then talking to that dude who's got all the weapons and he's just over the courtyard.
Yeah, you know. And they're signaling each other with signs, right?
That's right.
Yeah, that was actually, I got to say, that was actually pretty well done. What about some of the more, what about some alternative type horror movies? A lot of people know about The Exorcist and Texas Chainsaw Massacre and the Friday the 13th, but what about some of those lesser known horror movies that a lot of people don't know?
I was thinking about this because John Carpenter, You know, made a lot of films. I mean, The Thing. Mm-hmm. I guess you put that up there as a horror film.
Yes, it's definitely horror. And with Alien, too. Alien is a horror movie. Yeah. I consider it to be, anyway.
But a Carpenter film that doesn't get any love, from what I can see, and I really like it, it might have been one of those where you just watch it in the right circumstances at the right age. Prince of Darkness. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
I have seen that. That was recommended to me by a guy I knew in college. He said, hey, let's get Prince of Darkness. That's kind of a creepy film. And we rented it. And it was a creepy film. It was very low budget.
Mm-hmm.
And
it just works. The atmosphere just works. If anyone hasn't seen it, it's a team of scientists from a university or whatever. And there's this thing going on in a church basement that they're brought in to explain, you know, this kind of this phenomenon going on.
Yeah.
And they get, even though the church is in the middle of a city, it just manages to really convey the feeling that they're completely isolated and cut off.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, you go across the street, there's a high-rise building there, but they can't get out.
Oh, and yeah.
They're stuck there with basically the undead.
A life form is growing out of prebiotic fluid. It's not winding down into disorder. It's self-organizing. It's becoming something. What?
It just really works.
Yeah, it was. It was a decent film. I have to say, those low-budget horror movies, you don't really kind of – you can't really get your hopes up on it. But that was really well done.
Yeah. I mean, if you look down the cast list and you see Alice Cooper and Donald Pleasance in it, you're not getting your hopes up, are you? You know? But it works.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was a good one.
And the hero's got a moustache. You know? I mean, really, your expectations are low.
That never happens.
But there's that great bit, I don't know if you remember, where they're all having the same dream. Every time they drop off, you see this like really grainy video. And it turns out that someone's trying to send them a message back from the future.
One of the most disturbing films I've ever seen is a 30-minute short called Aftermath. Which may be one of the most horrific things I've ever watched in my life. And it's available on Netflix. It's 30 minutes. There's no dialogue in it whatsoever. But it is one of the most cringe-inducing movies I've ever watched in my life.
What's it about?
Well, to tell you exactly what it's about, since it's a short, would kind of give it away. But if I have to boil it down and make it rather simple, it's about a girl who's in a really bad car accident.
Hmm. That's it. No more Sprolias.
No more than that. And I'm telling you, if you look up Aftermath, and it's a Spanish film, but you don't have to worry about subtitles or anything, like I said, because there's no dialogue. It's by a director by the name of Nacho Cerda.
Talking about foreign shorts, either of you ever seen that film? I think it might be Italian or Spanish. I can't remember now. It's about this dude. He goes into a phone box and he gets stuck in there. It's like probably an early 70s film, I guess.
I don't think I saw it.
No, I didn't.
It was run, I remember watching it during the 1982 World Cup. You know, it's just kind of run after one of the games. And, man, like so many people saw that over here and it's become etched, you know, into
everyone who saw it
remembers it. He gets stuck in there and then there's a load of kids playing outside and he just can't get out the phone box.
Yeah.
And, I don't want to give away what happens either, really, you know, just in case people watch it. But it kind of spirals from there and you get to the point where you think, hang about, he's not going to get out of here.
Oh.
It goes on from there. And it's, you know, like when you watch Jaws when you're a kid and you're a little bit scared of going in the water on the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After you watch this film, you kind of keep your foot in the door of the phone box, you know, just making sure it doesn't shut at that last inch.
Yeah. Oh, another kind of alternative horror film that you may not have seen that you should. It's a British film. You probably know it, Booze. Vincent Price in The Witchfinder General.
Oh, now you're talking, yeah.
That's a great film.
because it's really horrible, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, there's no real redeeming features about that film.
Yeah, I mean, it's just nightmarish because I guess it's based on actual events and an actual person. It's just like...
Two were cast alive into the pool of fire, burning with brimstone, and the rest were slain by the... And all the birds were filled with their flesh.
You'll find it in America under the name the Conqueror Worm, which they called it that because they wanted to tie it into the Roger Corman's Edgar Allan Poe films.
Yeah, I think... what I like about that is it's kind of in the same vein, really, as your Wicker Man.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of a Guy Fawkes link as well, you know.
Right.
They really used to love burning people.
They did. They did. It's just like, God, people experienced this and went through it. Jesus, what the hell?
Yeah, and over there as well. I love the fact that, you know, people colonized America looking for... Right, we're not happy with this religious persecution. We're going to go and we're going to start our own country. And it's all going to be great. And then the first thing they do is start burning the women.
Welcome to Salem. You think like we do, right?
There's a great... If you ever get a chance, you can probably... You might even be able to find them on Netflix, I don't know, if you search for Hammer House of Horror.
Mm-hmm.
But in amongst, you know, the witching time where he squeezes her tit and all that, there's one... called I think it's called The House That Bled. And
House That Bled.
Yeah, and it's like schlocky title, but really the best thing about these is you get to see what Britain was like back in the late 70s. You know, there's a lot of location work going on.
Yeah.
And the main scene in that film is there's a kid's birthday party and they're all sitting around the kitchen table and a pipe bursts open in the kitchen and a load of blood comes out and covers all the kids. Now, it's pretty traumatic watching it, but can you imagine being one of those kids in the actual film?
Yeah,
speaking of gushing blood, anybody ever see that weird... It's fairly new, the movie Ginger Snaps, the werewolf movie, where when the girl gets her first period, she gets bitten by a werewolf.
That's one of my favorite werewolf movies. Werewolves are probably my favorite movie monster. And that
they've been done poorly a lot, but yeah, they've been done well a couple times, too.
Yeah, that was a pretty good film because the main girl in it is, you know, she's pretty feisty.
Oh,
but then
that's
one of these things when I have to ruin it. I think there's like a Ginger Snap 7.
There is.
Oh, really?
Yeah, cool. They go back in time to like in Ginger Snaps 3 and they're like in like colonial days. Just like, what the hell? But yeah, the original Ginger Snaps was great. I'd never really thought of it, but yeah, there is kind of a minstrel thing that goes on.
Oh, totally.
With the whole idea of werewolves, but and yeah, that just tied it in really well. That's the kind of werewolf movie that even women would like, unlike something like Dog Soldiers, which I don't think any woman would like.
Yeah, I was just about to mention Dog Soldiers because I think it's a British film.
Yep.
With this, you know, little army platoon on maneuvers. Mm-hmm. In, was it supposed to be up in Scotland or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
And you've got like a Geordie, you know, someone from Newcastle, someone from Liverpool, someone from London, a Scotsman, and you couldn't really get more diverse accents from all the corners of the British Isles. And then
they all walk into a bar.
Yeah, I remember the first review I saw of it on IMDb. Said, all these guys sound the same. I can't understand anything they're saying.
Oh, no.
Oh.
It's an American for you. I guess they probably had subtitle it over there. But that's a good film.
Yeah, that is a good film. It's another one of the better werewolf films. Ginger Snaps is from Canada, and Dog Soldiers is from Britain. I don't know why they can't get it right in America. The Wolfman movie with...
Lon Chaney.
No. I'm talking about the recent remake with Del Toro, or as I call him, retarded Brad Pitt.
There was one good bit in that where they've got him and they stick him on the chair in a little in the medical college or wherever. And they've got him strapped down, and the guy is talking about Harry's not a werewolf. Basically, and then he turns into a werewolf right behind him. Yeah. Have to run out. That's pretty good.
I think it I'm one of those people that think it actually could have been better if they used analog special effects instead of digital.
Yeah.
Digital just takes me out. And there's nothing worse for me in a horror movie than digital blood. Digital blood looks like is the worst piece of
shit. That
little
spray you see when someone gets shot or bitten, yeah.
Oh, it's terrible. They just and don't do it like an American Werewolf in London anymore.
Yeah, American Werewolf in London, the scene in that where he changes, you still can't beat that scene.
No.
And
does it hold up? I remember watching it thinking how amazing it was, but compared to today's effects, it still looks good. I haven't seen it in a few years.
There are a few close-up shots that look kind of, where the skin looks kind of rubbery, but overall, it still holds up.
Suddenly there appears for me the only when I heard somebody for me when I looked the moon at to go.
Help me!
Nice.
It's the same with like the stop motion animation that they had in Clash of the Titans, the original.
Yeah.
Which, let's face it, it wasn't a good film. But when you had the bit with Medusa, there was something creepy about it because it was a stop motion effect.
It was a good film when you were a little kid, and the target audience. I loved the original Clash of the Titans and cried at the remake.
That is shit. It is shit. Have you seen it recently?
Yeah.
It's fucking horrible. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't even a love story. He was pissed off because it sunk his boat. It was really ridiculous.
that would give you the right hump, though, wouldn't it, P? That would give you the right hump, wouldn't it? The God sinking.
Yeah, but not quite as much as my wife to be would be murdered if I don't.
Right. Yeah. Going back to American Werewolf in London, Landis really, really got the British audience, I think, in that one.
Yeah.
No, and the whole that's another one where you can just see exactly what Britain was like when they filmed it.
Right.
And that's an amazing, at the end, the climax of the film, where they're in Piccadilly Circus.
Uh-huh.
Because it's impossible to film, and I think they gave them it for an hour and a half at 4 o'clock on a Sunday morning or something like that.
Yeah.
Close it off to traffic, and that's where they did that whole scene, where people get run over and heads are being locked off and buses are turning over and stuff like that.
Yeah, man, that was a great scene.
And you've got that great British porn film in the middle of it when it goes in.
Oh, yeah.
See you next Wednesday.
And I'm amazed. We've talked about horror movies, but we have not yet touched what I think maybe, even though it's, I don't necessarily call it my favorite, it's one of my favorites, The Shining.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll talk about, just the power of the mood. You don't really see that much in The Shining.
Yeah.
It's building up, and the hotel becomes a main character in it.
Yeah.
All right, you got the twins.
Those twins and that old woman in a bathtub.
Oh, my God, getting a blowjob from the rabbit or whatever.
Yeah.
The furries. The furries are creepy as hell.
That was one of the creepiest scenes. He just, looks over and what's he, give a thumbs up or something? It's just like, okay. That was so fucking bizarre.
Yeah.
All right.
Is there anyone more annoying than Shelley Duvall, though, for that, the last bit of the film?
No. No, there's no one more annoying than Shelley Duvall in the last bit of that.
No, give me a fire axe and I'll sort this out for you.
Yeah, can you blame him? I mean, Jesus.
Don't blame him. All work and no play. That's what it was. You got to get out more.
seriously. So if we're going to wrap up our discussion of films, because we spent a lot of time on it, this Halloween season, what one movie that people probably haven't seen would you recommend that they do see this season?
Puppet Master.
Puppet Master. That sounds like one that ranks right up there with Troll 2.
It's no. It's as good as whatever the Chucky movie was.
What was it the third Halloween film that had nothing to do with Halloween? It was like about some factory that was making pumpkins or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's whichever one was subtitled
it was three,
Season
I believe.
Of the Witch. Yeah.
I so wish that we had Sav in on this conversation because his recommendation would be fantastic.
Yeah, but it would be.
I think I'd go for Exorcist 3. If no one's seen Exorcist 3, check that out. If you've seen The Exorcist, it follows straight on from that, and yeah. It's pretty creepy.
Yeah, is 3 a remake or a sequel? A better sequel. Okay.
It's a sequel, excellent. And it's got lots of... you know, it's a pretty scary tale.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to recommend, it's an older film, and I guess for the audience in America, they can get it on Netflix. It's one that I liked a lot as kind of a precursor to Psycho. Again, a British film called Peeping Tom.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds right up my alley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a weird film.
I think it's really, really good.
That's the film that ended Michael Powell's directing career.
It certainly did. They just, in 1960, they were not ready for the kind of things that were on screen in Peeping Tom.
No, that is pretty a freaky film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're a fan of Psycho, see Peeping Tom.
Okay.
Yeah. I think you got hard done by, really, because it's not, you know, it's all suggested.
Right.
But it does have that kind of sexual undertone. Mm-hmm. And he's going around killing women.
Yeah.
Suggestive. What do you think of The Changeling?
The Changeling was good. I liked it.
Yeah, not much in the way of...
The George C. Scott film, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that I liked it.
I don't think I've seen that. What happens in that
It should be right
one?
Up your alley. It's
What happens in it? What's it about?
Basically, a writer... It's going to sound like I'm talking about what we just discussed, but it seems like a writer was going to a house and the house is haunted, but it's like a historical mansion. It's not too far away from Nicholson, but it's a totally different movie. Yeah.
Yeah. And if ghost kids creep you out, check out The Devil's Backbone. I'll throw that one in there too.
Yeah. That's a good film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guillermo del Toro. He did it before he did Pan's Labyrinth, but The Devil's Backbone is really fantastic.
There's another film, The Orphanage.
I watched that recently. I liked it.
Yeah, it's a Del Toro kind of acolyte who directed that. And I think he
produced it.
Yeah. The only thing I would say about that is the ending really let me down.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they kind of tacked on happy ending. That if it had ended about 10 minutes sooner, it would have been a great ending.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. But yeah, I think it's definitely worth viewing. Which is also, for the American audience, is available on Netflix.
Hey.
The Orphanage, yeah.
So. Gotta ask, there are a lot of movies that opinions are very split on, one of which, and I've got strong feelings one way, Blair Witch Project. What do you think? Love it or hate it?
I liked it, but I hated her. You know, if you watch it now, it does look like someone's like college project. And they've let this chick act in it, and she's gone for it big time with the overacting. But I think I saw it before. Well, I don't think you could see that film before the hype got out of control. So you were a bit disappointed. But I kind of come around. It had been hyped up. Then a lot of people had said, no, it's shit. And then I saw it, and I thought, no, it was all right.
No, I liked it just for the fact that it shows what you can do in a horror film with a limited budget. I really get sick of the whole jump scare phenomenon that's in horror movies. It's like all horror movies now are based on like loud music cues and sound effects. And I'm just like, there's just no rewatchability in that.
But there's two ways of doing that, though.
I'll give them they had a limited budget. I hated it. I saw it in the theater, and granted, it was overhyped, and I was probably expecting... I don't know how more, but I sat through the whole thing and was like, okay, I get what they're trying to do, but the shaky cam was annoying, and you know, there was the shadow or the guy standing there, or whatever.
Not enough car chases.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They just camped out, man.
With the whole music cues and all that, there's two ways of doing that, I think. Sometimes it can work. Something like Rosemary's Baby, where you just have, you know, you look at her eyes and then there's that big stab, or Psycho most famously and stuff like that.
Right.
Or did anyone ever see that film Stigmata?
I did not see that.
That was just so lame because, what was her name? Was it Patricia Arquette was in it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was in it.
And she's, you know, bleeding from the hands and stuff like that. But the thing is, like, the Nine Inch Nails music would start up before it happened. So you knew it was coming. She's sitting in a, you know, in a restaurant or something like that. And then, you know, Trent Reznor would get going. And then her hands would bleed, and that was it. So by the time the thing, the scary, supposedly scary thing actually happened, you were fast-forwarding it to the next bit, boring dialogue with Gabriel Byrne in it.
Jeez. It sounds like, I actually saw this, it sounds like the a recent horror film with Kiefer Sutherland called Mirrors, which was pretty shitty too.
Yeah. Has anyone got any actual ghostly experiences that happened to them or someone close to them?
I've got a little story I can tell.
Myself and a
buddy of mine. He mentioned that there was an old abandoned house not too far down the road from where he lived. So we decided to take a little trek out that way, since we were both in, I think we were both at the time in like 7th or 8th grade, so neither one of us could drive. So we had to walk down a highway and then go off into the woods to this old abandoned house. And we go in there and we look around. We're just looking around and there's weird stuff all over the place. I mean, there's like old antique books laying in the floor and the house around. It was a really cool experience to go around and we were just looking at some of these old books, and you could tell that the books had been there just forever. I mean, the typeface was different. The way it was bound was just
in human skin. Yeah.
It was just a really cool experience, and it was spooky. You just kind of felt this kind of, you know, there's it just had this feeling of we're not alone through every room, and we just kind of wandered through each room. And I can even remember the feel of old rusted doorknobs. I mean, it's just because we would look in these closets and they would be empty. Paint was peeling everywhere. And you're just like, wow, this is just a.
How old were you at this point, Belasco?
7th or 8th grade. So I probably was around 13 or 14.
See, I wouldn't. I don't believe in ghosts or anything like that, but I wouldn't. That sounds pretty brave.
Yeah, we shouldn't have done what we did. And then we noticed out the back window was, through the high grass, an old farmhouse.
Oh, Jesus.
And so we're sit there and we're wandering around. It's like, well, let's go check out the farmhouse. And we decide to trek through the high grass. Thankfully, it was colder. I don't know. I think Halloween would probably already passed. So I think that may be why we were so brave. I think it had been around Halloween. We probably wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, no one gets killed except for on Halloween night. That's
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So we wade through the high grass and we go to this old farmhouse. And, you know, there are slats in the roof that are missing. So there's bits of light coming in there. And it's just this big, empty farmhouse. And we're looking around. It looks like they there were stables, or at least used to be stables, and everything's all decrepit and falling apart. And we're just standing there, and all of a sudden, on the roof, we hear just this loud boom. And we looked at one another. We were just frozen, and we looked at one another, and it happened again. And I have never run faster in my life. I ran out of that place, and my buddy, his name was Corey, we ran out of that place. We ran past the house. We ran through the woods all the way back out to the highway. It's amazing we didn't get hit, because I don't even think we looked before we ran across the highway. And until we got to the other side, and we just kind of stopped. And there behind us was apparently the guy that owns the land. He had thrown stuff on top of the old farmhouse to scare the living shit out of us. It was probably one of the most probably the most afraid ever for, like, it was a ghost or something. But I'll never forget the experience of that farm, of that house, because that house was just creepy. I mean, it was the quintessential old abandoned.
What was it completely like, furnished?
No, it was it was not the furnishings were gone.
But, oh, okay.
But
so you did the thing that in when you're watching a horror movie, you think, oh, what the, you know, you would never go in there. What are you doing?
You did all those things. We totally did the thing that you should never do in a horror movie.
Not unless you've got someone in a wheelchair with you or a black dude, so they can go first.
Franklin,
your black friend,
butchered with the chainsaw instead of you, but. Oh, God, it scared the living shit out of the both of us.
What about you, Pete? Have you got any stories?
Not to that level, but I Belasco's story reminded me of just a really weird feeling I got in a building once, and not too long ago, maybe 5 years. The Vanderbilts were a very wealthy family who built the Biltmore Estate and things like that, and some of the old tuberculosis hospitals have been converted to apartments in Asheville, North Carolina. And I was doing some maintenance work and got to go in the old TB sanitarium, they called it, or sanatorium. And the part that hadn't been converted to apartment buildings yet was still like little offices, but there were two-way mirrors in them all. And downstairs was a giant steam compressor where the old lady would play organ for the inmates, for the dying people, I guess, Miss Vanderbilt. But when it was just one of those things you can't describe. There wasn't a cold breeze. There wasn't, you know, a soundtrack playing. But it was just one of the more eerie feelings I've ever had. And
yeah, just like, get out of there.
And surely, largely because I knew what the place had been. If you had told me it was a carnival, it may have had a totally different effect. But yeah, I definitely got the willies really good as an adult in that place.
Mm. What about you, Booze?
Well, see, I don't believe in anything like that, really. But I did that story I told a couple of years ago when we did a little Halloween podcast.
Mm-hmm.
That is actually fairly true. I mean, when I was at school, I was about 15, 16 years old, in my business studies class, there were three guys who used to sit behind me who reckoned that they were going off at lunchtime to this kid's house. He lived just down the road. And they went there and they went down in the basement and they would do a Ouija board. Mm-hmm. And they were saying, oh, yeah, we got in touch with this guy and he's told us all, you know, we're going to die. Now, you know, of course, you're thinking, all right, yeah, okay. But in their eyes, you could see that, you know, maybe maybe they believed it. And one of them did die the next year. He threw himself under a train on London Underground.
Well, he sort of made that one happen.
Yeah. And, well, yeah, but, you know, he still died. And there was another guy who died by the time he was 19. In a car accident. The only thing that spoils it is the third bloke, who, as far as I know, is still alive. You know? But yeah. If he'd have died,
I bet he watches his step,
storage.
Though.
No, I bet he don't, because they were just making it all up.
So you just bullshitted us?
No. That's absolutely true. Two of them died within three years.
That's pretty creepy.
Mm.
I don't believe in really any of that stuff either, but that is pretty creepy.
No. My mum used to tell a story that she did a Ouija board. Now, when I was a kid, I was pretty shitted up by all things horror, you know? And normally you would want your mum to say, look, no, this is a load of rubbish. But I remember her telling me when I was about 10 that she'd done a Ouija board and the glass had spun around, flown off, and hit the wall. In their old house.
Wow.
Either my mum's a horrible cow, or she's misremembering the story, and one of her friends or her sister who she was doing it with were trying to shit her up.
Right.
She was only young when it happened, or, you know, there were some other forces at play there.
Somebody could have had a hand spasm. I mean, you could, like, subconsciously throw a little oracle across the room, I guess.
A hand spasm.
I'm just trying to say, if you're convinced there's something on that board, you could make yourself, you know, do something. Hell, you make it spell shit out, and it's not doing it without you pushing it, you know?
That's right. But as much as I don't believe in all that shit, I would never do a Ouija board.
I've done them.
I used to have a flatmate who, when we watched that, I think it might have been, before that film White Noise came out, you know, the Michael Keaton...
Oh, that was rubbish. Terrible.
Yeah, yeah. It was a good premise, but they went too far. That to show the noise.
Right.
Because it's a Hollywood film, that to actually have something, you know, on the screen, it couldn't be suggestion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it was before that, but all that kind of, what do they call it, EVP?
Yeah.
That was exactly all, there was a lot of talk about that. And we got a tape recorder one night, and we were drunk, and I was saying things, you know, when is Dal going to die? And all that. And rather than play it back, he grabbed it and he threw it out the window.
Oh, wow.
Throw the oracle off the room, yeah.
Yeah, hand spasms.
Yeah. Come on. I had a scientific explanation. You're making fun of me. No, but it's a weird thing. I did it in college, and... damn if it wouldn't spell shit out. And I know the people I would do it with didn't want to spell some of this stuff either. And always you have to be a jackass. I cannot do that without deliberately making it spell things to weird the person out across from me.
Yeah.
And, you know, like your brother wants to ruin you is one I did and never told a guy. And to date, I wish I had told him that I was fucking around and did that because it really upset him.
But last night, you'll have to remember that one for the porn titles. Your brother wants to do it. But if you do watch one film this Halloween, make sure it's hand spasm.
I'm trying to think of there's one of the movies we talked about. There's a porno with a play on its name, and it's really funny. I keep thinking of one as I'm looking through movies, like Let the Right One In, my ass, you know. But I cannot fucking find it. I'll have to call back with it, but it's a good one.
The Jacker Man.
Yeah. Which doesn't sound like a very good porn.
I'm off to set fire to a Catholic.
Nice.
Awesome.
Yes.
I'm off to watch one of these movies. I don't know which yet.
I'm probably going to watch Aftermath again just because it amazes me every time I watch it. We'll see you guys next time. Probably, I guess, our next show will be on November 15th.
Remember, the 15th of November.
The 15th of November. And we'll see you next time. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
And that will do it for this episode of the SweetFeatheryJesus.com podcast. For more fun and laughs, make sure you visit our message board at SweetFeatheryJesus.com. You can subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. Just look for SweetFeatheryJesus.com. We're also available on the Revere Radio Network. Please check revereradio.net for showtime listings. And you can email me, the host, Belasco, at SweetFeatheryJesus.com. Follow us on Twitter at SFJ.com. That's SFJDOTCOM. And we're also on Facebook. Just go to Facebook.com/SweetFeatheryJesus. Thank you very much.
Hand spasm.